Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored by OMO Construction and David and Paula Bounzer, and it's also, and the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. We're doing Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Last week we left off, Perlich left off at the Tnan, the fifth line on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The next three lines really pertain to the previous Gemara. So the Gemara wants to demonstrate at this point that when we say a kezayis as a shear, as a measurement, it's referring to a middle-sized kezayis. Not one that's too small, not one that's too big, but a middle size. And it brings as proof a Mishnah in Kelim, which says, "Detnan zayis she'amru lo katan v'lo gadol el benoni." It says explicitly that we're talking about a middle-sized zayis, a middle-sized aleph. Vizehu aguri. And that's what we refer to as an aguri. Gam Rabbi Avo, lo aguri shmo, lo avruti shmo. Rabbi Avo says it's not called an aguri, it's called an avruti. V'amri lo smart. Some people say it's called a samrusi. Balamish nikrashma aguri. Why would you call it an aguri? Sheshmeino agur betocho, because an olive has its juice kind of captured inside of it. Agur, it's caught inside of it, and that's why it's called an aguri. Okay, that was all just relating to the previous discussion about the size of the olive that we use for shear. But now we get back to our larger discussion, which we had started on the previous summit, which was the topic of shlakos. Just to review, shlakos are referred to as boiled vegetables. And we said that the rule with boiled vegetables is it depends on whether this is the normal way you eat it. So a potato, for example, where you normally wouldn't eat a raw potato. Normal people don't eat raw potatoes. So if you were to eat the potato raw, then you make a shahakol, because that's not the normal way you eat it. Once you boil the potato and it's now ready to be eaten in a normal way, then it's hit its destination, and that's when it gets its adama. And conversely, a vegetable that's normally eaten only raw, but boiling it will kind of ruin it. What's an example of a vegetable that's only eaten raw? It's hard to imagine now, because what?
Lettuce.
Okay, good. Lettuce is an example. Good. It would be really weird.
Cucumber.
A cucumber also, maybe, yeah. It would be weird to boil or a cucumber or lettuce. So you make a adama when it's raw, because that's its destination. That's its the way you eat it. But then once you boil it, it loses its character and you make a shakel. That was the rule with shlakos. So the Gemara says this idea that shlakos loses its bracha of adama is perhaps the subject of a machlokes tanayim. Neima ketanoi. Let's suggest that this follows the machlokes tanoim, and it now tells the kind of whole story. Dano tre talmidei. There were two students. Davu yasvi kamei derab bar kafra. They were sitting in front of bar kafra. Heviu lefanav kruv vidurmaskin upargios. And they set out in front of him a kruv, a cabbage head, vidurmaskin. Dermaskin, if you look in Rashi or in Tosos, I forget which one, it says prunes. You see, Dermaskin, Pirsh Rashi, prunes. Rashi says, in this long Rashi, Dermaskin, prunes. What are prunes? They're like plums. So you have a cabbage head, plums, upargios. Pargios means chicken, like a hen. So Nasan Bar Kafra, Rishus L'Echan Me'em Uvarech. So Bar Kafra, the Rebbe, said to the students, okay, someone make a bracha for us. Show us how it's done. So Kafatz Ubirech Al'Pargios. So one of the students jumped up and says, okay, I'm going to make a bracha. Bracha Hashem Okein Malchum, Shakol Nia Bevaro, and he eats the chicken. So Ligleva Lov Chavero. So his friend, the other student, starts laughing at him, which wasn't a nice thing to do. So Kaas Bar Kafra. Bar Kafra got angry. Amar, Lo Am Mevarech Anikois. I'm not getting mad at the person who made a bracha. El Al-Hamaglagleg Anikois. I'm getting mad at the person who laughed at him. That wasn't a nice thing to do. You shouldn't have laughed at him. Just because you have a friend who looks like he's never eaten meat before, he was so excited to eat this chicken, it's as if he had never eaten chicken before, and he jumped and made a shakon liyabivro on the chicken, which ostensibly is the wrong thing to do, because if you were to make a eitz or a adam on the other things, those should have gone first, because shakol is always the last bracha. But just because you have a friend who kind of was jumping out of his pants to eat chicken, that's not a reason to laugh at the guy. And then Bar Kafra paused for a second, and he thought for a second, and he says, actually, maybe I'm more angry at the guy who made the bracha. Chazar v'yomer, and he said, He said, let me try again. I'm not really angry at the guy who laughed at him because there was reason to laugh. I'm angry at the guy who made the bracha. The Amar, Im chachma inkan zikna inkan. So he said, the person who jumped and made a bracha without thinking about it and without even asking me, I was the Rebbe, and I'm here, right here, you could just ask me the question, which bracha comes first. So he says, it's one thing to not know enough and to make the wrong bracha, that's understandable. A lot of people don't know enough and make the wrong bracha. But I'm your Rebbe, and I'm sitting right here. Im chachma inkan, just because you have no wisdom, zikna inkan, that's to say that there's no experience here, I'm your Rebbe, and you could have asked me. So that's why I'm laughing at you for making that bracha first. Tana, the Braisa continues, Vishneyem lo hotziu shnasan, both of these Talmidim, the one who jumped and made the bracha, the one who laughed, they didn't make it out the year because I don't know, you know, they lost zechuyos because of this terrible incident where their Rebbe was criticizing both of them. But the Gemara now says, and now tries to analyze what happened here. So my love, b'haka miflege, presumably, says the Gemara, this is what they were arguing about, meaning the two Talmidim. The Talmud who said the shakal and the Ovid Vero and ate the chicken quickly, and then the Talmud who laughed at him. The Mevareich Savar Shlokos Upargios shakal and the Ovid Vero. The one who made the shakal and the chicken quickly, he probably figured, okay, I have here shlokos, I have here boiled vegetables, and I guess these are vegetables where the ordinary way to eat them would have been to eat them raw, and here you've boiled them, which according to our rule says you should now make a shakal on them. So I got my shakal vegetables, and I have my shakal chicken, shakal and bivaro. They're both shakal. So which one do you make a bracha on first? If they're both shakal, you don't have to worry about the precedent in terms of the bracha, adama, shakal, etc. Hilkach, and therefore, when you're not sure which to make, chaviv adif, you eat the one that you'd rather eat. And everyone would rather eat chicken than vegetables. So that's why the guy who made the bracha, jumped and made the bracha, said the shakal nevivro on the chicken first.
But there were three things that were in front of them, right?
Yeah, but I think the three things were both, it was cabbage and plums, and I think both the cabbage and plums were shlakos. They were both things that you would ordinarily eat raw, and these had been boiled.
A plum you eat raw.
And cabbage you eat raw. Cabbage you could eat cooked. I don't know what their practices were. You know, I guess the answer is cabbage you could eat cooked. What? The plum would have been, yeah, it's true. Plum is an eight.
Oxford translates like
spinach. Spinach, really? Oh, so maybe I'm wrong when I got excited when I saw Rashi says it's prunes.
Rashi says prunes.
I know what that is.
It literally says prunes.
Yeah, prunes, literally. But maybe prunes in Old French is what is
else.
It? Something else. What is
spinach.
It? It's spinach. It's a long Rashi. What does he say? Oh yeah, he says me'esiv shakorin. His first explanation is that it's some kind of esiv, some kind of grass, like a leafy vegetable.
It says me'esiv shemushal harbing. It's cooked a lot, and I guess dissolved. The more you cook it, the more I guess dissolved.
Ah, so similar to lettuce. What we were saying. So okay.
This is Rashi says others translated as prunes.
Most people do eat spinach.
Oh yeah. Oh, one second. So Rashi says others translated as prunes, and then he says vf shalamida. He says that makes no sense, as you're pointing out. Dimkein hari berchaso bari priya eitz. It makes no sense because then you make a bari priya eitz. Okay, so that Rashi kind of bats that away. So okay, we'll go with the spinach translation. Okay, but the point is that here it seems to be that this issue. So the person who made the bracha was going with our formula of what happens with shlokos. If you ordinarily eat this as a raw, and now you cook it, now you boil it, they're both the chicken and the vegetable are going to get a shakal on the Ovid Vero, and then you just go with chaviv. You go with your preference, which one you'd rather eat, and that's why he jumped and made a shakal on the Ovid Vero on the chicken, because he preferred chicken to lettuce or spinach or cabbage. And the guy who made fun of him, he figured shlokos bar pri adama. He didn't hold to our formula of shlokos. He says no matter what you do to these things, as long as they retain their form, it still looks like cabbage, it still looks like plum, it still looks like spinach, you're still going to make a bar pri adama. Pargil shakal mivaro, and everyone knows that you make shakal on chicken. So Hukach Peradiv, so the Maglig, the person who made fun of the guy who made the bracha, said, you made the shakal on the chicken, you jumped the gun, you should have made your Bari Priyadama first, because that's the bracha that precedes a shakal. That's the Gemara's analysis of how we see that this issue of shlakos is embedded in a machlokas tanaim. The Gemara backs out and says, lo, dekulei alma shlakos supargil shakal nibivro. Everyone agrees, even the Malagleg, even the guy who's making fun of him, he agrees with our formula for shlakos, that they both get a shakal because these vegetables are now boiled. What they were arguing about was the following, mar sover chaviv adif. Even though they both get a shakal, so one of them held, you go with their favorite. The guy who made the bracha said, my favorite is chicken. I've always preferred to eat chicken over vegetables. So he says, therefore, you make the bracha on chicken first. Umar Savar Kruv Adif Dezayim. And the other guy, the Malagli, who was making fun of him, said, no, just because they have the same bracha doesn't now mean you go with your favorite. Rather, you go with the more chashiv item, the more satiating item. And cabbage is more satiating than chicken, although I don't really agree with that. Right? Chicken is presumably more... But in this situation, it was... Rashi quotes a Gemara in Mem Dalet, which says that cabbage is particularly satiating, right? Kruv lamazon v'tardin l'refua. You eat beets for medicinal reasons and eat cabbage if you want to fill yourself up. So since cabbage has this particular character of being filling, so that's why the guy who made fun of him said you should have made your shahakol on the cabbage before you made it on the chicken. And that's what they were arguing, and it's not a machlokas that's tied to the discussion about shlakos.
What bothers me, though, is two disciples earlier, they died for obvious reasons, okay? And one rebuked the other one and so on. And meanwhile,
Bar Kafra.
Kafra, okay, he was the one that laughed at them.
No, he didn't laugh. He just kind of explained or reprimanded or explained why I'm upset at you or why I'm upset at you. It was the guy who laughed. It was the one Talmud laughed at the other Talmud. That was what happened.
Right, and I thought that earlier when we laughed at the Rebbe, whatever.
No, I don't think but so. Okay. Not in the story.
You see, straight up from the Gemara, then it says, Mar Savar Kruv Adif, that it couldn't have been, I guess, the Gemara itself is Mustama, that it couldn't be proven as like it refers to it as a Kruv.
No, there were three things. The first thing was Kruv v'durmaskin. Durmaskin was the second thing. So there was cabbage and there was plums or spinach.
No, I'm saying, wouldn't that be mash for even the durmaskin was also a kind of Kruv?
Oh, that was a kind of, okay, that's related. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Tosa says that as well. So
okay. There you go. Tosa.
But at this point, it's such a strange. Like, when we say it's a Maholos Tanaim, then we bring a story of two students, both of whom their teacher gets upset at them, and we say that's a Maholos Tanaim.
Right. What made these students Tanaim, you're saying?
Right. Like, what do we that's interesting. From this?
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Students of Bar Kafra,
That's not bad. Bar Kafra was a really good writer. And not only that, but the Mishnah or the Brisa, whatever this is, quotes them, you know, so they're worthy of being quoted. Okay, Amar Rabbi Zeir, now we get into a few assorted halachos relating to brachos. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Kevinam Be Ravina. Rabbi Zeir says, when I was visiting Rav Huna, Kevinam Be Ravina, Amar Lan, he said to us, Hani Garglide Delifta, these turnip heads, Parminu Prima Rabba, if you slice them into large slices, so then Bari Pri Adama. They retain their character of being turnip heads because they're large slices, you make a Bari Pri Adama. However, if you chop them very finely, Prima Zuta, if you cut them into small pieces, so then they lose their character of being turnips and they convert to Shakal and the Abidvaro. V'chiasan lebe Rav Yehuda, and when I came to the house of Rav Yehuda, Amr Lan, he said to us, Idi Bari Pri Adama. He says, that's not true. Even if you cut these very finely and you chop it very finely, it doesn't lose its take. It doesn't lose its taste. It doesn't lose its character. They're still considered a Bari Pri Adama. Vaide parminu tfei. And the reason why you cut it very small is kiheche denaptik taime, because you want it to bring out the sweetness. I guess as you cut it smaller, it brings out more flavor. But it doesn't make any fundamental change, and it still gets its Bari Pri Adama. And I think that's how we paskin, that you know...
Potato chips are very thin.
There you go. Potato chips are very thin. That's right. And you still prefer that. Right. And you're going to continue to say that bracha until it really loses its tzura of that thing. Okay, Amar Rav, next to sorted halach, Amar Rav Ashi, ki avinan be Rav Kahana, when I was at the house of Rav Kahana, says Rav Ashi, Amar Lan, he said to us, tavshila desalka, a certain kind of dish of beets, delo mafshu bakimcha, where it doesn't have a lot of flour, beets were able you can make them into a good dish, even without adding any flour, or without adding a lot of flour, Barit Pre'adama. So they did a Barit Pre'adama. The Lifta, however, a similar dish made out of turnips, Dumafshu Bakimcha, the recipe there required much more flour, Dumafshu Bakimcha Tfei, more flour, Bori Minei Mizonos. So then, because you've added so much flour, you now turned it into like a kugel or something like that, and it gets a Bori Minei Mizonos. But then he said, actually, Idi, Barit Pre'adama. Both these things get a Bori Pri Adama, even though you've added a significant amount of flour to the turnip dish. Why? V'hai deshadi be'kimcha. The reason you put so much flour into this dish, kimcha tfei, so much flour, g'devuke ba'alma avdila. It's only being used as a batter, something that holds it together. What?
A binding agent.
A binding, thanks to the word, binding agent. Only being used as a binding agent and not to make it into a kugel, not to fundamentally change it into a cake kind of thing, and therefore it retains its bracha of Borei Pri Adama. Okay, next thing, Amar Rav Chisda, Tav Shel Tardin, a dish made out of beets, Yafel Lelev, V'tov La'inayim, V'kosher Kein L'vnei Me'ayim, a nice rhyming thing. It's good for the heart, and it's good for the eyes, and especially it's good for your intestines, your stomach. Amar Abaye says that's only true if you are really cooking it well. V'udiyasiv abeitfei, that's only if it sits on the stove, v'avid toch toch, and it makes a sound like toch toch, like a gargling sound, meaning if it's really, you cooked it really thick, you've cooked it really thick and it's like bubbling up and making a deep gargling sound, that's when it's really good for your heart and your eyes and your intestines. Good. Amar Rav Papa, next halacha. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Pshita li, it's clear to me that maya de silka, that if you have water that you boiled beets in it, kisilka, then that water gets the same bracha as the beets themselves. Umaya de lifta, and similarly, water that you boiled turnips in, kalifta, gets the bracha of the lifta of the turnips. Umaya de kulu shalki, and for that matter, he says, water that you boil any vegetable in, kukuhu shalki, gets the bracha of the vegetables. Now, this is a little bit of a controversial statement that the Rishonim grapple with. To what extent does vegetable soup, if you're just talking about the broth, get the bracha of the vegetables? Right? Clearly, a vegetable soup where it's pureed or where you're eating the actual chunks of vegetables, that gets a Borei Pri Adama, and the water is tafel, is secondary, and therefore you don't even make a shakel. You just make a Borei Pri Adama on the vegetable soup. But if we're talking about where you boil turnips, let's say, in water, and then remove the turnips, and you're just left with the watery substance of that's flavored by the turnips, so does that get a Borei Pri Adama? So here the Gemara makes it very clear, Rav Papa makes it very clear, that you say a Borei Pri Adama on that water. But what's interesting and difficult about this is back on, I don't know where, I think about an amud ago or a daf ago, we said that juice from a apple, let's say, apple juice or orange juice, gets a shakel. So what's the difference? If you squeeze an apple and that juice is shakel, and you boil a turnip in water and remove the turnip and that juice we're saying is hadama. So how do you reconcile those two halachos? So there's a major machlokas Rishonim that kind of delves into this among the Rashba, the Rush, and the Mordechai. So the Rashba says that you look at what the normal way of eating that particular fruit or vegetable is. He says apples, taking apple juice for an example, the Rashba says apples are normally eaten, just you bite into the apple. And so therefore, apple juice doesn't get the same bracha as the apple, because its juice is not the normal way you'd eat an apple. Nowadays, we eat lots and lots of apple juice, but arguably, if I say to you, how do you eat an apple? You'll say you bite into it. You don't squeeze it, right? And so therefore, that juice is a shakel because that's not the normal way you eat an apple. As opposed to turnips, let's say, they're normally eaten as soup, says the Rashba, and that's why they get their hadama in their, you know, following that rule that you always go with the destination, right? The normal way of eating turnips is as a soup, and therefore the water that you boil the turnips in is going to get hadama. That's the Rashba. The Rush has a little different analysis. He says, if you think about it, soup, like, you know, vegetable soup, if you taste that water, it tastes like the vegetable, and therefore it gets that same bracha as the vegetable. Whereas apple juice doesn't taste like an apple. I don't know, is that true? Mm. That's the way the Rush says. I don't know if he says specifically sweeter. About apple juice. It's sweeter, maybe.
It's sweeter somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. This is that's the Rush. That's the way the Rush analyzes it. And the Mordechai, interestingly, says you eat soup and you drink juice. Right? That's mm-hmm. true in English also. You eat soup and you drink juice. Right? You don't drink soup and you don't eat juice. You eat soup, you drink juice, and therefore the brachos follow that vernacular. That's the Mordechai. Mm-hmm. In any event, I looked in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that this halacha anyway that says you get you make a hadama on the water of the soup that you boil the thing in, that's only going to apply where you have the pieces also. So where you're eating your classical vegetable soup where you have the pieces floating in it. And there's water, so then you make hadama on the whole thing, which seems intuitive to us. You make hadama on the whole thing.
There could be one exception with the beets, because beets, when you boil them, and as you said, you need to cook it well until it does tuk-tuk, whatever.
Yeah.
I can tell you that
it gets thick.
When we cook beets, it's like on the flame for like 2 to 3 hours in order for it to be nice and...
And it's thick, right? It's you're kind of eating
the water, substance. The level of water goes down, but the water are like purple.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you would drink it, I guess it has all the nutrients that it pulled the beets, and it looks like beet juice.
Yeah,
it looks like beet juice.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so these are complicated halachos in terms of kind of how we go which way. But that's general. Mishnah Berurah says that. I don't know how the Mishnah Berurah would deal with that beet juice. Maybe the Mishnah Berurah would say something that's kind of really thick. That's a different story, and the beet juice is really like.
I don't know. Today, whenever we drink anything, we would say shahako.
You say shakel. So with that beet juice, you would say shakel?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess if it's juice, it's similar to apple juice and orange juice, you'd say shakel.
I bet the guy wasn't sure.
I don't know.
He kicked the bucket.
When we think of even applesauce, right, which retains the solidity of the apple, we make a shakel, except if you eat the home style, the chunky, then you say a ha'etz. But real regular applesauce, you make a shakel on it. So whatever. These are some of the issues that they deal with when. So that's that Gemara. So Boy Rapapa. Rapapa asked the following question: My is the shivta, water of shivta. Rashi says, it's talking about a spice or a garnish, not a garnish. If you have, what was that? Like herbs, yeah, you're dropping your herbs in your water and you're flavoring the water with the herbs. You're flavoring the soup with the herbs. So, d'maya d'shivta, mai. What do you do there? Umetuke taima avdi. Do we say that those herbs are there to sweeten it, to make it a better taste? In which case, maybe the water should get the bracha of the herbs. Ola avure zuama avdila. Or is it really just to get rid of some kind of bad... I don't know, some kind of bad substance in there, like to clear it up or something like that, in which case you wouldn't make the bracha of the herbs. So again, these are all confusing because you have to kind of analyze each of these memras in light of the other one, right? Rav Papa here is saying, he's suggesting that if the herbs are sweetening the water, then you should make a ha'adama, but that kind of cuts against what he just said, which is that my de silka that's consistent with it. Actually, I'm sorry. So fine. So Rav Papa says, is it to give flavor to this water? In which case, you would get that same bracha of hadama, or is it lavurei zum? Is it just for some kind of utilitarian purpose? In which case, you wouldn't make hadama. So Tashma, he says, look at the following brisa, hasheves, which is dill, mishenas natam bekadera ein ba mishum truma. So he says dill. Let's say you have dill that is truma dill. So truma can only be eaten by a kohen. And let's say, for example, this dill was tameh. So it would only continue to be tameh if it retains its character as dill. So he says, if you take this tameh or truma dill and put it in the water and you cook it, it loses its character of truma and it loses its tuma. Shma mina lemetuke taima avdila shma mina. He says that shows that it's kind of dissolved almost. It's, all its flavor has gone out and been infused in the water, and that's why it loses its character. So that proves to us that it's there to flavor the water, and therefore the water gets the bari priyadama. Okay, Amar of Chia Bar Ashi. Now we're switching topics a little bit away from vegetables and to bread. Amar of Chia Bar Ashi. Chia Bar Ashi says, Pas Tsunuma Bikara. Let's say you have, Rashi says, we're talking about dried bread that you put in a soup. This sounds a little like croutons, right? You have like kind of parched dried bread that you put in a dish. Mevarchin aleha hamotzi. You're going to make hamotzi on these croutons. Upligad Rabbi Chia, and this is goes against Rabbi Chia. Dam Rabbi Chia sarish shetichla bracha im hapas. So, one second, let me just pause for a second. Rashi says what I just said, that we're talking about just the bracha you make on these croutons. Tosfos has a whole problem with this, because Tosfos says we already learned on Daf Lamed Zayin, this fundamental rule, that as long as the pas looks like pas, as long as the bread looks like bread, it retains its bracha of hamotzi melecha min haaretz. So croutons, or even the Lamed Zayin was talking about like challah kugel, where you have small pieces, and the Gemara there said, even though the pieces are less than a kezias, since they look like pieces, it looks like challah kugel, it still retains its bracha of hamotzi. So we already learned that halacha on Daf Lamed Zayin. So this, says Tosfos, can't be teaching that halacha again. Rather, this is talking about what you make the bracha on first. This is a foreshadowing the sugya on the next Talmud, which we'll get to, which is if you have a whole piece of bread or a whole roll, and you have small, finely chopped pieces of that roll, pieces of bread, do you make the bracha first on the pieces of bread, or you make a bracha, and you're going to eat from both of them? Which one do you eat first? Which one do you make the bracha on? Do you make the bracha on the shalem, or do you make the bracha on the prusos? Which one has more chashivas? So Tosfos says that's the debate going on here. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says, Pas tsunuma bikara mevarchin alav hamotzi. He says that you're going to make the bracha first on the pieces, whereas Rabbi Chiya says that you are, well, let's see, Rabbi Chiya, Upugid Rabbi Chiya, and he's arguing against Rabbi Chiya. Dam Rabbi Chiya, Tzarech shetichla bracha im hapas. He says that you have to finish the bracha with the pas, meaning that it's preferable to make the bracha on a shalem while it's still a shalem, while it's still pas, while it's still considered a loaf of bread. So maskev for Rava. So Rava comes along and he says, I don't understand, Rabbi Chiya. When you say that you should make the bracha on the shalem, on the whole roll, because it's better to make it on a whole roll and finish off the bracha with a whole roll in front of you and only then to cut it, that's not what's going to happen anyway, says Rava. What's the difference between these pieces, these croutons, where you're not making a bracha on them, says Rabbi Chiya, because it's preferable to finish up the bracha on a whole piece? Says Rava, according to the way Rabbi Chiya is thinking, or the way the Gemara assumes, when you make a bracha on a whole roll, you're also going to finish off the bracha on pieces anyway, because as you're making the bracha, says Rava, the Gemara is assuming, you're cutting that roll, and by the time you finish your bracha, it's no longer a shalem. So he says, what's the difference whether you make a bracha on these pieces or on the shalem, if by the end of your bracha, you're going to be it's no longer going to be a shalem? To which Rava says immediately, Ella Amar Rava, he says that actually is not true. Rava says, Mevarech achar kach botzea. The rule is you make your bracha, finish your bracha, and only after you finish your bracha, that's when you cut. Nardai avdi Rabbi Chiya. And then the Gemara points out that the people in Narda, they followed Rabbi Chiya, who actually said that, the way Rava understood it, that you finish off the bracha with the cut piece, and you know, as you're making the bracha, you cut it. V'rabbanan avdi k'rava, and the rabbanan, they went with Rava. Amar Avina Amruli. Right, that's right. Okay. So Amar Avina Amruli Aim. Ravina says, my mother told me, Avukha Avid Rabbi Chiya. Your father, he did it like Rabbi Chiya, cut it as he's going. Dam Rabbi Chiya Tsari Shaticha Bracha Imapas. For Rabbanan Avdi Karava. And the Rabbanan, they held like Rava, Vilchasa Karava. And the halacha is like Rava, the Amar Mevarich V'Achar Kach Botzea, Rava's, you know, kind of reinterpreted opinion, which is to say that you make the bracha, and only after you make a bracha do you cut the bread. There's a Tosos here that kind of goes into how we paskin here, and he says it's a little complicated by the fact that on Shabbos you want to have Lecha Mishnah, and so therefore on Shabbos it would be difficult to say that you cut as you're going. But so clearly, and then, you know, we have the whole but he says on the other end, it's going to be a hefsek, because if you say the bracha and then you first start cutting, it's going to take time to cut. It's going to be a hefsek. Our compromise on Shabbos is we do the funny thing where we start to cut it and then make the bracha, and then, you know, that's to cut out the hefsek. It's a whole whole complication, but that's what this tosis is about in part.
I don't cut bread, I just tear it.
You just tear it. That's a Some of us are more civilized than that. We, you know, we use our knife to.
But the truth is, making this stuff doesn't save you any time at all.
Yeah.
Because reality is back, it's longer because you're like.
Because you're finding the slit. Yeah, this is the age-old debate.
Most people don't look for the slit.
Right. It's a The slit is a funny thing. I don't know. Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's try to get to the end of the Amud.
Didn't you say that the whole reason they started doing it is it was harder to cut into it? It was like a
harder
crust, so it really would take time now. It's like.
Like, no, but still,
we're
today,
right? If you think
have,
of the
sourdough,
what do they call sourdough?
Sourdough,
right,
like you,
it's
you
hard
crust sourdough.
Yeah, you need an axe for that.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. Okay, Itmar. Okay, new thing. This is actually now, we are kind of foreshadowed with the previous, with the Gemara we just finished, to this fundamental machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan about what trumps what. If you have pieces and if you have a shalim. Let's see. Itmar. Heviu ifneim petitin ushleimim. Let's say they brought in front of you a pile of bread pieces, cut bread, and some rolls. The rolls are whole. So what gets the precedence? What should you eat first? What should you make the bracha on and eat first? Amar Avuna, mevarich al ha-petitin upoter es ha-shleimim. So Rav Huna says, make the bracha on the pieces, and then, and you know, willy-nilly, you'll be poter the shleimim, and you eat the shleimim next. But fundamentally, primarily make the bracha on the pieces and eat those first, and then only afterwards eat the shleimim. So there's Machlokas Rashi Tosos here about exactly the scenario that Rav Huna is dealing with. Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, Petitim Shleim Amar Rav Huna, Imratzim Varech Al HaPetitim, Vima Petitim Gedolim Min HaShleimim Tzarech Varech Aleim. So the second part of Rashi sounds like the real important part. He's saying that if you have pieces that are bigger than the rolls, then they get the priority. So you have large pieces, right? Large pieces, and then small little rolls. So the rolls are more shalim. They're important, and you think that maybe they get priority because they're shalim. But on the other hand, the pieces are big, so maybe they should get priority because they're big, right? So you have large versus whole, which gets the priority. So at least the way Rashi is explaining it, Tosos is a slightly different. But let's go with that. So Rav Huna says, "Mavarich al petitim b'hoter shalim." Says Rav Huna, go with the large pieces rather than the small whole. Rav Yochanan Amar Shleima Mitzvah Menav Mivcha. Rav Yochanan says no. Go with the whole, even if it's smaller. And fine. That's number one. Then the Gemara adds another complication. Aval Prusa Shalchitin Ushleima Minasorin Divrei Hakol Mevarech Al Prusa Shalchitin Uposer Es Ushleima Shalasorin. But let's say you have the cut ones are of a higher quality than the whole ones. So now we're working with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that the whole ones get the priority over the large cut ones. Says Rav Yochanan, the whole small whole ones get priority over the large cut ones. But Rav Yochanan is going to modify that and say that if those cut ones are of a higher quality, they're made out of chitin wheat, whereas the shleimim, the whole ones, are made out of seorim, which is barley, which is a lower quality grain. So then you go with the cut ones, the higher quality cut ones, over the lower quality shleimim. That's what he says. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Kitanai. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba suggests that this idea of favoring the higher quality over the lower quality itself is a machlokas tanaim. As follows: Tormin batzel katan shalem, aval lo chatzi batzel gadol. A similar question of priority comes up in the context of truma. You have your produce and you're giving part of it to the kohen as truma. So let's say you have onions, and you have a small whole onion, and you have a cut large onion. The large onion is more chashuv. The small onion is just a small onion. It's not as chashuv. But on the other hand, the small onion is whole, and the large onion is cut. So what do you do? Which one should go to the kohen? We're assuming that you give the more chashuv one to the kohen. So Rav Yehuda Omer, I'm sorry, so that the Tanna Kamma says, go with the whole rather than the cut. Even though the cut might come from a better stock, from a large one, go with the whole one rather than the cut one. Rav Yehuda Omer lo ki ela chatzi batzel gadol. He says go with the cut large one because the large one is more chashuv. My lav balkamifli. And presumably they're arguing with the following. Demar savar chashuv adif. One holds, that is Rav Yehuda holds that the more chashuv one is more chashuv, and that's why you give that to the kohen. Umar savar shalem adif. And the other one says, disregard which is more important, which has a more higher quality, and go with the shalim, and therefore choose the smaller onion that's shalim. So the Gemara answers and says they're not necessarily analogous to our Hilchos Brachos issue. Heicha dika kohen, where there's a kohen there right in front of you, ready to take the truma and eat it and process it or take it home. So then kuli alma lo pligi. There, the whole machlokas would fall apart, and everyone would agree, the chashuv adif, or the Gemara is suggesting, perhaps everyone would agree there that the half of a large onion is better because a large onion is more chashivas, and so therefore you should give that to the kohen, and the shalim never wins, according there. And they're only arguing in a practical situation where you have to worry about preserving the cut one. Ki pligi, deleka kohen. They're only arguing where there's no kohen present. And you're going to set aside this truma and give it to a kohen later. Ditnan, kol makom sheish kohen, tori min hayafa. There's an explicit Mishnah that says, whenever the kohen's there, you're always going to give him the more chashuv thing. And in this case, everyone would agree, you'd give him the half of the large onion, because the large item is more chashuv. The large onion is more chashuv, is more yafa. However, if a kohen's not present, then there's another consideration you have to keep in mind, which is tori min ha-miskayim. You have to give from the one that's going to preserve itself, that's going to not just rot away. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, that's the consideration there, and that's why there's a machlokas there about whether maybe you should give the small shalem there. But that's because that's more able to be preserved. It's less likely to rot because it's not cut. But that's not to say that in Hilchos Brachos, the shalim wins out over the chashuv, and so therefore it's not analogous. But that machlokas is not analogous. And just to finish it up, Rav Yehuda Omer in Torim Elamin Ayafe, Rav Yehuda is the one who says you always go with the Yafe, even if it's not going to be preserved. Okay, now back to our machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan about which wins. Is it the large pieces or the small shalim, the small whole one? So Amar of Nachan Bar Yitzchak, V'yirei Shamayim, Yotze Yidei Shneyan. He says a Yirei Shamayim, someone who's God-fearing, should preferably be Yotze both, not get involved in this machlokas, and be Yotze both. Umanu, Mar Brei Dravina. The Mar Brei Dravina, what did Mar Brei Dravina do in order to be Yotze both Shitos? What would he do? He would fold them up one into another and just kind of cover up the whole problem and cut it and say, okay, you know, we're being yotze everything, ubotzeya, he would cut through. There's a machlokes Rashi Tosfos whether he would kind of just hide it or he would actually cut the whole thing. But whatever it is, the point is he would kind of get rid of this problem altogether by just eating everything. Tani Tana Kamei Drav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. And in fact, we have a Tana that supports this. Meiniach HaPrusa B'doch HaShlima, you fold one into another, Ubotzeya, and you cut, Umavarech, and you make a bracha. Amrei Ma Shimcha. So they said to him, what's your name? Amrei Shalman. Salomon. He said, my name is Shalman. The Rabbi Kiv Eger points out that the name Shalman appears somewhere in Tanakh. Anyone know?
Salmon was
Salmon.
He was, I think, the brother of Boaz, or no, not the brother, uncle of Boaz. I think he was the
father.
The father of Boaz.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, he was somewhere in that lineage.
Right. That's where Rabbi Kiv Eger says. He doesn't say who he was. He says he was somewhere in that lineage. If you look at the Goyin Hashas, he says Matzinu Shem Zeh Besof Megillas Rus.
Yeah,
that's where you know it, right?
He doesn't know either.
He doesn't know.
Not sure.
So it's fine. So he says, Shalman, Amroi Shalom Atav Shalom Mishnah Secha, Shishamta Shalom Ben Atamidim. You are rightfully named Solomon Shalom because you brought peace between the two Talmidim, meaning you came up with a solution that averts the machlokes, and you could be Yotzei both Shitas. Amra Papa Hakol Modim. Rav Papa says, everyone agrees, but Pesach, even though we're talking about whether you do a Shalom or a Prusa, but all holds are barred. All the rules are off, and when it comes to Pesach at the Seder, Sheminiach Prusa B'toch Shleima Ubotzeya. There, you need to have the Prusa. Why? My time with Lechem Oni Ksiv. We know that the middle matzah you break for Lechem Oni, it's considered Lechem Oni. Rashi says V'darko Shalani B'Prusa. A poor person typically eats a small piece, a broken piece, and that's why when it comes to Pesach. We still try to get Lechem Mishnah anyway with the first and third. But the point is that you say your bracha with the middle piece, even though it's a prusa. Amar Abba, b'Shabbos chayiv adam v'psal shtei kikaros. He says, no matter what, when it comes to Shabbos, you have a chayiv of Lechem Mishnah, so you really need whole ones. So even though normally you might have paskined, or I should say, even if you did want to paskin like a Rav Huna normally, that the large piece trumps the small whole, when it comes to Shabbos, you need whole ones because you need a Lechem Mishnah. My time, Lechem Mishnah Ksiv. Amar Vashi Chazinu Le Rav Kahana Dinokit Tarte Ubatza Chad Ubatza Chada. He would hold two and he would cut one, meaning he would just cut through the whole thing. Rav Zera Vabatza Akua Sherusa. Rav Zera, he would cut kind of a huge piece. Rashi says, "Prusa gadol shayadai lo chasuda b'Shabbos." He's talking about on Shabbos. Rabbi Zera would be makbid to cut a huge piece that would fill him up, that would give him enough to be yotzei the meal on Shabbos. Amar Ravina or Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, "Become mischazik ravanusa." We know, generally speaking, it's not in the good manners to eat a big piece. The Mishnah Berurah itself says that if you have a big roll, you shouldn't just like pick up a big roll and bite into it. You're at a wedding; they serve those big rolls. It's nicer to take pieces off rather than pick up the big roll and just David bite into the whole thing.
That's what David tears apart, right?
So he says, so what? Why is he cutting off this huge piece? He's mischazik ravanusa. He looks like a person who's just like a glutton, a hungry person. Amrulei kaven to call yuma ka'avid hachi. Va'ino ka'avid miskazik ravanusa. So his answer is, because during the week I don't do this, I don't cut up a huge piece and eat right off it. I only do it on Shabbos. I demonstrate thereby that I'm not a glutton. It's a special Shabbos thing that I'm doing, and that's why it's okay. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi kiavu mitrume l'rifta deruva. When they would come across their bread that they had used for an eruv chatzeros, mivarcha n'alea motzi lachem min aretz, they would make a bracha v'amotzi lachem min aretz and eat it. Amri, and they would say, hoil v'yisavid be mitzvah chada, navid be mitzvah acharite. They said, it's a nice thing that since you use this thing for one mitzvah, you should use it for another. This is a concept we see in halacha. Like we take our lulav at the end of Sukkot and we hide it away till Pesach time and burn the chametz with the lulav based on this idea of hoil v'yisavid be mitzvah chada, navid be mitzvah acharite. Once you've already used something for one mitzvah, it's a nice thing to double it up and use it for another mitzvah. Okay, Shkoyach.
There's a sign.